You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Zoe in Texas, and I have the sense that it's probably Zoe at all. So I think one of the emails said that the whole team there is anxiously awaiting the reply. So hello to the team in Texas with Zoe. All right. So this is about a client who consistently farts in session. And it's funny because we talk about stuff like this all the time in the coaching. And so I don't think I've ever talked about it on the podcast before, but I'm glad that we're able to process this. So let me read parts of the email and then we'll dive in together. My colleague has a client that is 8, private adoption with level 2 autism. The client is obsessed with farting. She will chant the word fart on demand, sometimes 15 times in a 45-minute play session, and laugh. The client knows what she's doing. She will ask, "Can you smell it?" and watch the therapist as she farts, and the intention seems to be to get under the skin of the therapist or the individual that she's around. This session, the client farted so intensely that she farted off the chair and broke the chair. This play theme has been going on for 12 sessions. She was reducing the amount of farting for a while, but now she's back to doing it. We are stuck. We don't know what to do in regards to reflections, limit setting, and are at a loss. Any help would be appreciated in regards to this. Particularly, I'm curious as to how to set limits on somatic behaviors. For limit setting with toys, you can phrase choosing for the toy to be gone for the rest of the session, but for farting, I'm struggling to see how to make an appropriate limit, knowing that time in the playroom can't be taken away nor added to. All right. So thanks for the question, Zoe and team. Basically, what we need to think about when it comes to behaviors like this, and we're going to enlarge this a little bit for discussion purposes to beyond just farting. In other words, sometimes it's noises that kids make incessantly. Sometimes it's sounds. Sometimes it's repetitive behaviors that are very clearly with intention. But we kind of have to reverse engineer the whole process of figuring out what's going on. So yes, farting is an option, but sometimes it's just any repetitive, consistent behavior. And we typically want to go back to the beginning. So I suspect, and this is typically what I tell parents, this is what I tell other therapists, I suspect that initially she just naturally farted and she got a reaction from it. Whether at school, whether with peers, whether with parents, whether with teachers, whomever, she probably got a reaction. And so what happened as an innocent scenario, over time, kids learn that that behavior evokes a response. So there can be different motivations for the reaction. So in your email, you said you think that it's to get under the skin of the person. Possibly, but possibly not. It can be attention-seeking behavior. It can be to irritate someone. It can be a power and control grab because they like the fact that they have power and control over the person when they create a reaction in that person. Imagine like a little marionette, right? So watch this. Oh my gosh. Okay, hold on. I have to tell a really quick story. So every time we go to baseball games, y'all know how much I love baseball. Every time we go to baseball games, they play the little segments of music, like when, you know, there's a mound visit or when there's a new batter, there's always a little bit of a lull. So the stadium sound system will play some little snippet of a song usually. And it's these like crowd engagement songs. So everybody clap your hands. And like on cue, the whole stadium starts clapping. Or, you know, where they go, whatever the little ditty is, and then you go, charge. Okay, so I've said every time I'm there, I'm like, this just irritates me. Because whoever is up there pushing those buttons, it's like they can just watch and go, I can control everybody in the stadium. All I have to do is push this button and I can make people do what I want them to do. Okay, so that just my weirdness at baseball games. And I'm the one that does not participate, by the way. I don't do the wave. I don't do any of that stuff. Anyway, I know. Don't go to baseball games with me. I'm so boring. I'm scoring the game. And I'm like, don't talk to me. Don't do anything ridiculous. Just let me focus on what's going on. All right. So let's get back to the scenario in the playroom. There are often times when kids are like, oh, wow, look, I can make someone do exactly what I want. I can make them get angry. I can make them get frustrated. I can make them yell. I can make them sigh. I can make them do whatever. So that can be a motivation. In this case specifically, she has been adopted. She is on the spectrum. She probably likely feels very awkward, very uncomfortable. There's social stuff going on, I'm sure. There's relational stuff going on. And oftentimes kids will maladaptively cope with scenarios like that, where the premise is, if I do whatever, then other people will not expect more of me. Or I can make people already not like me, so then they won't not like me for other reasons. Or I can make people really uncomfortable because then they're not going to be uncomfortable for these other explanations. And it's all subconscious, so it's not like she's actually cognitively processing this stuff. But that is also a very common pattern in children that are struggling. They purposefully create scenarios and environments where people will leave them alone. People will not engage. People will dislike spending time with them. And it's actually means to an end for them. Good. Now you have no expectations on me. You don't expect me to hang out with you and get along with you. So it can be maladaptive coping in certain scenarios as well. So Zoe, I think in this case, drilling down to the why, and sometimes it's observation, it's watching for patterns, it's noticing what the consistency of the behavior is. You can drill down what is likely at the heart of that. If parents are reacting overtly, if other people in her life are reacting overtly, then we know that she's aware that she can get a specific reaction or attention. And therefore, we have to also then psychoeducate other people in her life to handle those situations differently so she doesn't continue with the pattern. I had a boy I was working with, and he did it in the playroom every once in a while, but more often than not, it was at home. And dad didn't really care. Mom, it drove her up the wall. He made this really high-pitched squeal. And she's like, he does it so many times a day. And I'm just to the point where I want to just shut him in his room and not let him out. And I can't deal with it anymore. And so the challenge for that mom was starting to respond really neutrally, starting to respond really factually with no emotion, no reaction whatsoever. So I helped her to just say, oh, you chose to make that noise. And she was like, that is not going to work. That's going to give him permission to keep doing it. And I was like, everything you've tried has not worked. So I suspect that maybe you could try something different. So how about we just give this a shot? And so at first he kept doing it. And then over time, he just slowly reduced and then completely abandoned the whole noise making. And she was like, Brenna, I thought you were nuts when you said that. But what I explained to her is it took away the purpose for him. The purpose for him was create some kind of outcome. Well, he started getting a completely different outcome and it didn't serve his needs anymore. When all the mom said was, oh, you're making that noise again. It completely dismissed any need for engagement or reaction or attention or whatever. And so it stopped. Now, another consideration is at a certain point, these behaviors almost become habitual. And they don't even really know that they're doing it anymore. It has become such a pattern of behavior. They're not even necessarily cognizant of it. So also sometimes just acknowledging what happened, it brings it to the child's attention. And then they're able to be like, oh, yeah, I didn't even realize I was doing that. That can also be self-corrective in and of itself. All right. So I wanted to get into kind of the why in the background before I actually tackle what's happening in the session. So with a scenario like this, where a child is farting, I mean, falling off the chair and breaking the chair, I mean, that's really kind of an interesting scenario. But generally speaking, I think, Zoe and your colleagues, if the response is just, you farted, you wanted to know if I can smell it, you think it's funny when you fart, you farted again. If there's just acknowledgement, I think that will inevitably change behavior because again, there's a why behind the behavior. And as she increases self-confidence in play therapy, as she increases regulation in play therapy, as she increases worldview in therapy, she will need to do those kinds of things less and less. So it's going to kind of come from both sides. I think the therapist's reaction being completely neutral and factual without any kind of reaction, and the work that she's doing internally, we will eventually see those converge where she will no longer do this. And this happens over and over and over again. Very irritating, repetitive, almost kind of conditioned behaviors that children will do, they naturally sort themselves out. This is similar to tics. A lot of times tics will emerge in the playroom and they go away. A lot of times kids will start making noises or screeching or yelling or doing whatever random thing that they do, and eventually it goes away. Because it's really dysregulation that's at the heart of it more than it is anything else. So as kids become more regulated, they no longer need to do that. As far as limits, those behaviors don't warrant a limit. Now, maybe falling off the chair and breaking the chair could be a limit, only because, first of all, that's a safety issue. Second of all, it's a property getting damaged issue. So that could warrant a very specific limit, such as, whoa, you farted so hard you fell off the chair and it broke. If you choose to fart in here, you choose to make sure that nothing gets broken and you're safe. You could have a very neutral limit on the safety and the property getting damaged scenario. But as far as a limit on the behavior itself, it's not warranted. It's maladaptive coping. It's attention seeking. It's for reaction. It's because it's just a pattern of behavior. I mean, there's all kinds of potential reasons. The goal is unconditional acceptance. The goal is be with attitudes. And the more neutral, that's why I did an entire series on neutrality. The more neutral that we can be, the more impactful it will be for her, because in any other environment with any other person, she's going to get a reaction. Whether it's a laugh, whether it's an eye roll, whether it's a demand to stop, whether it's consequence, whether it's embarrassment because people make fun of her, who knows? So the only relationship and the only environment in which she's going to receive unconditional acceptance is with you in the playroom. And that's the beauty of CCPT. It provides conditions that the child is able to self-actualize. She does not want to stay stuck in a pattern of farting. No kid wants to stay stuck in dysregulation. No kid wants to stay stuck in dysfunctional behavior. And the fact that she's stuck here, there's a reason for it, and there's a pathway out. But the pathway out is predicated on the conditions of the relationship and the environment and the CCPT way, which is, I'm here, I hear you, I understand, I care, and I delight in you, and I unconditionally accept no matter how many times you fart in session. And that over time will decrease the need, it will decrease the reaction that she's seeking. So everything will naturally kind of level itself out. And that's the beauty of CCPT. So Zoe and team, thank you for the email. I hope that that's helpful for you all. If you would like to have me answer a question, please email me, brenna@thekidcounselor.com. You can also leave a voicemail at 813-812-5525 if you're in the States. By the way, if you are not in the States, thank you to all of you international listeners. This community has grown so much and more people listen every day. So if you are new, welcome. So glad you're here. And if you are not in the States and you are practicing CCPT, learning CCPT and embracing the model, we're so glad you found us. We're so glad that we are a universal and global team in serving kids and their families with child-centered play therapy. By the way, little anecdotal update. I know on a couple of episodes earlier, I mentioned that we only are able to display the most recent 300 episodes. And so the early episodes are going to be harder to find. Maya, my incredible, she does everything for me. I don't even know what to call her anymore. She's my right hand, all things. She created playlists and grouped all of the podcast episodes by topics. So instead of having to go back and sort through all of the archives, 320 some odd of them, now you're able to see playlists of grouped topics. If you are new to the podcast, you still need to listen to all of the episodes. So I highly recommend starting at the beginning and listening through all of them. You can binge listen, you can speed me up, whatever. But they are now grouped and it will be far easier to find. So you no longer have to have the pressure of only the most recent 300 episodes displaying. And so a huge thank you to Maya. All right, y'all. I love you. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.